What's up, y'all? This is Dr. Jewel, and this is our first, Jonathan, can you believe this?
I can.
This is our first podcast.
The first?
The first, honey. Your Mind Matters with Dr. Jewel, of course. So we are so excited. We are so excited to do this. This has been a long time in the making, J-Bowl. You know what I mean? Too long, but we're finally here. And this is what we want to do. We wanted to come up with a podcast to talk about mental health, mental wellness, and mental illness in the church.
In the church?
In the church house. Yeah, we're going to talk about it in the church. Because what we realize is that, you know, I don't know about you, but like growing up, I didn't really hear anything about mental health in the church.
Heard about demons.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
That's all about
demons. And you cast them out in Jesus' name, and then that's about all
there
you got.
There may be snakes involved.
You feel me? That's kind of creepy, right?
You just never.
That was traumatic. That was trauma traumatic. Right there. Yeah, okay, the church traumatizes. Yeah. But the thing is that you all, we really wanted to come up with a platform where we could talk about mental health, mental wellness, mental illness in a safe place that was like transparent, authentic, real, where we could talk about how we experienced this in the church, the topic in the church, or you didn't experience in the church. And the fact that, you know, we needed a place where we could talk about Jesus and mental illness, Jesus and mental health, Jesus and self-care, not where it was detached from one another. Mm-hmm. If you have Jesus, you don't have any of these, because we all know that that is not the truth. So we wanted a safe place where we could talk about these things. And then you all, another thing that we wanted, we're hearing a lot of things out here on these streets about, I mean, look, social media, reels, everything out here, people are giving their lived experiences with mental health and mental wellness. That's why I think it's really come to the forefront, J-Bold, you know, with people really ending their lives, choosing to, and, you know, now people with notoriety, you know, are coming forth and talking about mental illness. I think it's made it a little bit more palatable, you know, the bias and all of those things that we have attached to mental health and mental illness. It's kind of slowly coming down. We got a long way to go, but again,
less of a stigma.
The stigma, you know, we got to detach that stigma. So we wanted to have a place where we talk about it, but we wanted to just not just talk about it. I mean, lived experience is important. Okay. What you've experienced as far as mental illness in your family, you, your children. I mean, all of us have experienced it. I mean, really, we just kind of excuse it. Like, you know, Uncle Larry was an alcoholic. Like, he would come to the family reunions lit, okay? And we always knew Uncle Larry was going to be lit. But we didn't call it substance use disorder. You know what I mean? Right, because we knew when he got there, he was going to be turned up. You know, even in my situation, when my cousins used to get lit, I used to go and ask them for money, and they would give it to me, like, freely. So, like, you know, I wasn't, I mean, you know, again, that may not have been a good thing, but it is what it is, you know what I mean? But they gave it freely to me. But again, you know, all of us have had experience, whether it's not, it's that auntie that you go over her house, and you can't get in the house. You feel me? Like, because she had stuff stacked all the way up to the ceiling. Yeah, you know.
It wasn't just a pack rat.
No, she wasn't just a pack rat. She just wasn't interested in you. Full-blown hoarder. Full-blown. Okay, so we got that. Yeah. You know, and then any situation with you, where you seen it in your family, J-Bowl?
I mean, usually we just said they were crazy.
Yeah, that's just
Yes, they have newspapers over all their windows and a little kind of paranoid, if you will, but we always just labeled it, they're crazy. And that's it.
And you just keep it going.
Just keep it going.
Yeah, yeah. Or the uncle, like the one that doesn't like anybody, he like isolates. Okay, we're like, he just don't like people. You know what I mean? So, I mean, all of us really dealt with it, whether it's depression, anxiety. Okay, how about the mother that's the worry wart? You know what I mean? Worry about everything. She worrying about 2 days from now. You're not even finished with this. I mean, everything is, what if that happened? You know, there you go.
The helicopter parents as an educator. Oh, my gosh. My child is going to go to Princeton in kindergarten.
They're in the kindergarten. You know what I mean?
Yeah. College is not tomorrow.
Okay, you talking about anxiety and stress. You just set them up. You feel me? You just set them up. So again, we all deal with mental health, but we want to deal with it specifically in the church. You know, people like, Dr. Jewel, you know, you just going to talk about the church. And my thing is that, yeah, I'm going to talk about, because I'm a church girl. So let's rewind a little bit, J-Bo. Who am I? So let's talk about that a little bit. Okay, so of course, you know, I'm Dr. Jewel, okay? That's who I am. All right. But another thing about me, you know, I'm a chronic schoolaholic. All right. I'm a chronic schoolaholic. So that probably needs to be in, you know, DSM-5. But the thing is that, you know, I feel like we needed people in the body. My passion is for the church. Okay. I'm a church girl. I'm a pastor of, you know, at a local church here in Nashville. And so I'm an associate pastor. And so my thing is that I'm passionate about this topic because I've seen us not handle it well in the church because we just didn't know. Yeah. So this is kind of like my story. So I am, I'm a nurse practitioner. Okay. So I'm a family nurse practitioner, board certified, been board certified for about 19 years. Okay. Oh, wow. So I went to school, I went for biology, then I went back. Went for my bachelor's in nursing, went back again, went for a master's in nursing. Got my FNP, that's family nurse practitioner, went and did that 19 years. But then in the middle of that, decided I'm going to go back to school again and become board certified in psych. Okay, so I'm a psychiatric practitioner, board certified in that. Then decided I was going to go get my doctorate.
What haven't you done?
See, a whole lot, Jonathan. But the thing is that, you know, I got 5 pieces of paper only to say that I feel like my body of experience, and then again, like I said, the spiritual part, I am an associate pastor. So again, I have the spiritual part. So mind, body, and spirit all together, because that's who we are. Yeah. So I feel like all of that experience over all of these years will help to add to this conversation, because I hear a lot of people talking about it, but you know, I need somebody, I mean, I need lived experience, but I also need to know when you write me a medication, how does it work? Listen. Like, are you mean right dosage? Like, what does that look like, feel like for different, for different diagnosis? Yeah. So I need somebody who's educated in that. Also, I used to teach pathophysiology, the study of, you know, of disease. So, I mean, I did that. And now, you know, I'm also a professor. So, and then I'm a clinician. And then I'm a consultant. So why wouldn't we bring all that stuff to the table and help the church? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so that is why I wanted to, now it's time for me to use all the stuff that I have, bring it to the table to help the church be mentally well. So I remember like several years ago, I stood before the church, J-Bo, and this is kind of way it went, Lord was just pressing on my heart, because when I initially went into family practice, a third of my patients had mental health issues. Mm. I couldn't help them. I was like, Prozac is about all I got for you. You understand what I mean? Because that was the drug of choice to help with mental illness. Yeah. I mean, you know, if you were depressed, just give Prozac, start in a run, okay? But then when they came back and said I wasn't good, I was like, man, I'm tapped out. You know what I mean? I'm tapped out. So basically, I decided, look, I am going to go back a few years ago. I'm going to go back and get board certified in psych, because this didn't end. Over the 19 years, J-Bo, all I was doing was medicating over people's physical, you know, mental conditions. I was treating them for high blood pressure, treating them for diabetes, treating them for chronic infections, when basically they had stress.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, for blood pressure, we know that stress directly emits, you know, hormones that causes your blood pressure not to be able to be regulated. Your blood sugar elevates, your immune system is messed up. And so as a result of that, you coming in there all the time, catching every virus, cough, flu, you catching everything and wondering why. Then you come in there, your blood sugar all over the place. I'm giving you insulin pills and insulin. You know, I'm praying over you, everything. And I'm not getting it controlled. You feel me? And it's because I can't cut off that stress. Finally, when I start looking people in the face, I'm like, you know, are you okay? I'm having people break down on the table, crying, from pastors' wives, people who confess, you know, Christianity, like, I love the Lord, but I'm depressed. I love the Lord, but these kids, I was an empty nester. Now I got five people living in my house that I put out like years. I mean, life has changed and I'm supporting them. Or I was good, but then my kid is addicted to drugs. Like, J-Bo. So it never ended. Yeah. So I'm pumping up. Okay, I take you from one blood pressure medication to two blood pressure medications, to three blood pressure medications. I can't override what's going on in your life. Your life, right. Life, and you understand what I'm saying? If that was a chronic disease, lifing, man, baby, everybody would have that thing. Yeah. You know, so again, I'm trying to override that. So basically, I decided I got to do something to, I got to go back. I got to go back to school and get the body of knowledge to help people not only to be physically well, but to be mentally well. Because if they're mentally well, I may can control some of the physical things. Okay. So that's what I did. So went back and here you go. You know, years later, I stood up before the church. They both kind of went like this. I was like, look, God is calling me to go back to school. They were like, not again. And I was like, yeah, again, you know? And so, you know, so then they were like, she's just addicted to school. But anyway, but I was like, no, God is really tugging on my heart to get this body of knowledge. But you know what? They knew it because I try to really be in tune with mental health. It's just, it's just a part of who I am. So it wasn't anything foreign when I stood up before them and said it. Man, the whole church just clapped. They encouraged me, supported me. My pastor supported me. I went back to school. It was one of the hardest daggone degrees I ever got in my life. J-Bo, number five was hard. I thought it's because I was getting old. Man, that the brain ain't no joke. You feel me?
No joke.
Because it ain't no test for that.
But be clear.
Be clear.
Listen.
The brain is no joke. And I say that because you all... Man, unlike labs, you know, for physical conditions, man, you don't have a lab for the brain. You feel me? Like, I can't do a lab test for depression. I can't do a lab test for anxiety.
That's right.
It ain't no lab for schizophrenia, you know? And so how you gonna figure that out, you know? So you have to look at symptoms and things like that. Mm. So it's not like, you know, cough, flu, just give them, you know, give them an antiviral, bam, bam, get out of here, give them Z-Pack, whatever, goodbye. I know it's going to kill everything up in there. I'll see you later. Nah, with the brain, everybody's brain is different, 100% different. So, again, having to learn that body of knowledge was different because it wasn't as concrete. And that's why so many people, man, do not go into psych. They don't go into the profession. Yeah. So not only did I realize when I went to school that not many people go into the profession, I mean, because it's this many of us, J-Bold. I mean, and especially people of color. Yeah. Okay, it's so few psychiatric providers, it's so few social work, you know, therapists. I mean, it's just so few. And so, and then, you know, again, I hear people now really wanting to get help, but they don't have anybody to go to. So it's just really, really challenging. You have any thoughts on this? I mean, you know, again, that's my story. So my passion really lies from the fact that I've seen mental health, and mental illness problems in my family. I've experienced, I've had people in my family experience mental illness. And so it's a topic that everybody kind of sees but backs away from because they don't know how to handle it. And it's time for us to start talking about it, especially in the church, okay? Because that's an area where we really don't talk about it. You have any thoughts about it? Do you think it made
you more sensitive to thinking about health in general and mental health being no different than having high blood pressure, if you will? Like, I'm depressed. I have high blood pressure. And they're really the same.
Come on.
In terms of how we think about health. But did it make you more sensitive? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, of course, because I think we separated. J-Bo, come on now. I mean, we didn't look at depression and high blood pressure the same, especially in a church. Because if you're depressed, we're going to throw a scripture at you. You know, we're going to say, God's been so good, you know, and you know, you know, all you got to do,
yeah,
little faith, you need to be more grateful, you know, and give God thanks and praise your way through it.
Yes, and.
But you don't say that about high blood pressure. You don't say that about obesity. You don't say that about your thyroid. You don't say that about your pancreas is not working and you need insulin. Uh-oh. You don't say that. Oh, did I say that? Okay, I'm just, I said it. You don't say that when you have.
I mean, that cut me. I don't know about your
you ain't say that about your sinus infection. You ain't say that about, you know, you didn't say that about your eyes when you can't see. You know what? Mm. I mean, you ain't throw a scripture at that. So when you started dealing with mental illness and mental health issues, you know, I'm sad. I feel low. Ugh. You know, and come on. Yeah. So we kind of made a line. How do you think we made that line? Like, why did mental illness become like the taboo and the rest of the stuff was cool?
A good question. What'd you like? I think at least in the church, when we think about mental health and mental illness, I don't know that we see it in the Bible as much. And if we do, we think about Legion, who had, he was in a cave and he was in that cave wilding out. And oh, wait, Jesus comes along and he comes and casts out his demons into some pigs and all the things. And you're thinking, well, maybe it's demonic or maybe I just don't have enough faith to think through, like, how do I feel? And you can't talk about your feelings. I mean, no, you're always grateful, always gracious. You're over-spiritualizing. You don't really learn those muscles of I feel X, God understands that I feel X, versus, well, let me just pray about it. And that's not always the healthiest thing. Dude. Need Jesus and therapy and sometimes medication.
You understand all the above, the whole concoction. But yeah. I want to come back to that because you like, you know, when we say mental health is not in the Bible, I wouldn't agree with that because you know, again, all right. So okay, so I'm gonna say more. Okay, so like Saul, right? Mm-hmm. So like, didn't he get David to like? Get him out of his slump. When he having some?
That's true.
Some,
he needed some music.
He needed some music
to support him.
Okay, and isn't that like a therapy or something like here now? Music therapy.
Music therapy.
Glory. Okay, I'm just saying it's in the Bible.
Okay, I see the vision. Come on.
Let me think of it. Okay. Then we want to talk about your little thought life. Okay, Eve, right?
Oh,
okay. Let's deal with Eve.
Can we not talk about our thoughts?
Okay, we're gonna talk about because them thoughts. See, that's the problem. Everybody think mental health has to do with you just being, you know, depression and anxiety and bipolar and all that. Mm. Nah, mental health is about your stinking thinking. You know what I mean? Oh. How you thinking? So you know, for real.
Well, maybe not.
You know, but you see a whole lot of messy thinking throughout the Bible. You know, even how about when Joshua and Caleb, the spies, right? We're gonna go and seek out the promised land.
Okay.
All right, and then you had the 10 come up with another report. Okay, you had two people looking at things two totally different ways, all right? You had 10 of them, like, it's jazzing me here. You know, the naysayers, negative thinking, you know, that negative thought. You see what I'm saying? Stuff that cognitive behavior therapy, we try to get you to go against, you feel me? Right. Because, and then you had two of them that saw the thing the way they were supposed to see, and they was like, nah, you know, man, this is, so your thinking can help you see things positive or negative. Okay? So your mind can be a little, sometimes people don't realize that part of mental health is how you thinking, how you see things. Because if you got on a negative lens, you're around negative people and negative stuff all the time with negative input, you're going to think negative.
And that energy is contagious.
Oh my God. That energy will wipe you out. And so again, that's part of being mentally healthy. We got to talk about that more because I dare to say that we have a lot of people, J-Ball, that they may not have a diagnosable mental illness, and we're going to talk about that a little later. We're going to talk about the difference between mental health, mental wellness, and mental illness, the difference between the two. But I would dare to say that there are people out there that are so mentally unhealthy, but they don't have a diagnosable mental illness. I mean, you go home, you kick the dog, you scream at the cat, you scream all the time. You can't turn off at night. You can't sleep. You know, you got an attitude. You look at everybody like they're going to come and get you. You wall yourself off. You put up all these borders, boundaries. You don't step outside your comfort zone with anything. You fear everything. That's not mental health. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's not mental wellness. So again, we got to go back and deal with that and not demonize people when they start saying these things that they feel this way. First thing we want to do is just throw a scripture at them and keep on moving. Because really, J-Bolt, I don't think we know what to say. We don't know what to say. So, you know, I want to take this around the corner. I want to ask you this. Okay?
Let's come around the corner. Let's go.
Tell me who you are, why are you here, and what do you have to add to this? You know, J Bold is kind of cool, y'all. Sometimes I think he be on a, I don't know what he be on. But anyway.
It's good medication.
Because medication matters.
It matters.
Okay, it really does.
I'm just saying.
All right, J Bold. J Bold, why are you here?
Why am I here?
Why are you here?
One, because I'm 1 in 5. We'll talk about the stats. Mm. But when we think about 1 in 5 people experience and have a diagnosable mental illness. I've been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and it was much later in life. But thinking about how did I even get there? Lack of advocacy and lack of being able to talk about my feelings, my emotions, being told, you know what, you got to stuff it down. You can't really cry. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. And that coupled with the wicked will never prosper. They will be cut down like grass. I was confused.
Come on.
I wasn't sure how to process anything, and I over-spiritualized everything. So I ended up throwing myself into my work, or it could have been in school, trying to excel in certain things and using all of that energy that I had to really think about, wait, what's really going on with me? And I was hospitalized once as a teenager, and that's when things started really unfolding. But my family really didn't understand what to do. And oftentimes things were, well, you're not crazy. We can't say crazy. No, nobody's crazy. You don't need to see a psychiatrist or a therapist because you're not crazy. And so I took that along my own journey and was like, well, I can't be crazy, but I'm feeling all these things and I'm spinning out of control and my bank account is what it is because I'm buying all these things and I'm having these delusions of grandeur during different pieces of my life. And okay, what do I do with all
of
that?
That's right.
And I also think it's important just to say it, name it, experience it, feel it, and also know that you're not alone.
That's right.
And seek help when you can. Had it not been for you and having the right team with me, I would have never experienced the health and wellness that I am in the state that I am right now. Man. So when you say, you know what, you're so cool, calm, and collected, it is medication and Jesus, y'all.
It
I'm
is
just
what
saying.
It is.
I mean, it's what it is.
Hey, because we're going to keep it real here. Yeah. We're going to keep it real here. We're going to talk about these things because they're important. And people need to know, J. Bold, you know, you're academic. I mean, we're talking about a man who is very accomplished, okay? We're talking about, you know, a college graduate, you know, a graduate, you know, has a graduate degree, who has made great contributions to the area of education, incredible contributions, who travels around the country teaching curriculums around the country to school systems around the country. And so we have someone who is very accomplished. So it doesn't matter, you know, because, again, someone can look at you and be like, you know, hey, you know, he's, you know, well, I'm going to throw this out here too, J-Bo, because we got to deal with it. Even in trying to deal with, you know, your situation, I've seen how you've been treated as a African-American male.
Oh, goodness,
and you know, when we're dealing with your mental health, with clinicians even, you know, stereotyping you and different things like that, and me having to jump in and be like, whoa, ho, ho, back that thing on up. Yeah. I need you to practice according to the literature. That means I need you to take all the studies out here on these streets and apply it to you. That's you know what I mean? So that you can have great success based on the literature. So again, man, it's about understanding, but it's also about being academic. It's also knowing what these diseases are about. What they do, the symptoms, how they manifest differently in different people, even the cultural relevance in that, dealing with the literature as far as, you know, how we're treated disproportionately different sometimes when we need, you know, mental health care, how many of us are institutionalized, not in the hospital, but also in correction facilities full of people.
I saw that a lot as a case manager for individuals who were seriously and persistently mentally ill, just how you're treated in terms of you're judged for your life choices the demonization of your circumstances because you might be homeless. You might also not have the familial support. You may not be able to manage your finances. You need a little bit more support there. And oftentimes folks just kind of push them aside or shuffle them along, you know. Oh, and again, I just can't stress enough. They go back to saying, well, that person is quote unquote crazy and that's it. There's no support. There's no thought around, well, how did they get there?
That's
how
right.
Can I come around? There's no compassion.
That's right.
Whatever happened to just being a good human in general? Just be kind and
absolutely
nice and compassionate.
Yeah.
That's free.
That's free. That's free.
It doesn't
That's
cost
free.
Anything.
That's right. That's right. We can do that. And, you know, thank you for sharing, you know, your story, because that's so important. And thank you for being vulnerable, because that's what we want to do here. Yeah. You know, here on the show, we want you to be able to, we're going to have people that are going to come. We're going to have therapists here. We're going to have clinicians here. We're going to have anybody who can add to this discussion. People with lived experiences. You know what it's like to experience some of these issues. You want to come in here and talk about it. That's what we're going to do. Everybody else has a show talking about stuff. We need to talk about stuff like this, so that we can get healthy, we can get well, we can be made whole, so we can be the best version of ourselves. Yeah. And so, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to open this show up to have anybody who has something to add to this topic, because the moral of the story is that the more information we bring, the more we can grow, the more we can learn, and the more we can become better. So I want to ask you this, pastors, okay, this is what I'm finding out here on the street, and I want to talk about this a little bit before we end the show on today. I want to talk about this. Pastors, some of the most, we're talking about the church, okay, I'm called to the church. This show is called to the church, but we're not exclusive to the church. All right, period, okay? We got to do what we've been called to do. But I want to throw this out here. Pastors, some of the most mentally unhealthy people out here.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I found that 49% of pastors say they rarely or never speak to their congregation about mental illness. And though 23% of them acknowledge they have personally struggled with the mental illness.
Come on.
So they acknowledge the struggle. They won't speak about
it. Won't talk about it.
And 76% of churchgoers in general say suicide is a problem that needs to be addressed. But there are often many pastors and many folks in our congregations committing suicide.
Come on.
Which is detrimental and really unfortunate.
So you put the numbers out there.
I mean, there are numbers behind.
Come on now, okay? Because we got receipts. We got the receipts, and they're not good receipts. I mean, but hey, they're there. But you said something. I want to make this really clear.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that pastors have an idea about mental illness. A lot of them are experiencing issues with mental health. Yet almost 50% of them never discuss it.
Yes.
Okay. What does that say? That mean, so if they're struggling as the head, okay, as the shepherd.
And where the head goes, the body.
Okay. 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 And so, because if you're not mentally well, it's coming out some kind of way.
That's right.
Okay, it's coming out some kind of way in what you say or what you don't say. And so there you go. You have a documented issue, and you said something. You said 1 in 5. And I want to deal with that.
Yeah.
If 1 in 5 people in this country have a mental illness,
yes,
all you got to do in your church in the pew is look to the front, look to the back, look to the side, baby. Yeah. I mean, you got your numbers. So one of y'all have mental illness, okay? Yeah. So we've got to start dealing with this in a real way, okay? Because it matters. What we're saying, the shepherds, pastors are being impacted by mental illness. I have seen more pastors committing suicide than ever. I'm like, what is going on here? Okay. So it's real. If it's not them, it's children of leaders, okay, in the church. I mean, this thing is hitting everybody. So it's a topic that we have to talk about. We've got to pull the scab off of. We got to get in there and deal with it so that we can get healthy and be made whole for real. You know what I mean? So, you know, before we close out this, any closing thoughts? You know, like I said, Any thoughts, Jonathan?
You know what? I really just look forward to being on this journey with you as we dive deeper into what mental health, mental wellness, and even self-care, which I hear we might be talking about very soon.
Yeah.
What are the differences between the three? And just really being along the journey is what I'm most excited about and getting real.
Absolutely.
Because what? Your mind.
Your mind matters.
Matters.
It does. It matters, Jonathan. And we got to start treating your mind better. Out of all the parts, look, this brain right here, this mind controls everything.
Yes.
Everything. And unfortunately, we haven't treated it. Y'all, we haven't treated it the best. But we're going to give you the tools. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about, look, you'd be like, my doctor gave me this medicine. We're going to talk about the medicines. We're going to talk about the chemicals in your brain. Look, by the time you finish here, you're going to be able to teach. You're going to be able to do all that. You're going to go back and give this information to your loved ones. You're going to be able to deal with your family better. But more than anything, you're going to be able to deal with yourself better, okay? Because you're going to be able to take a pulse on your mental health, your mental wellness, and be like, you know what? I don't know what's wrong, but I know I'm not good, okay? But guess what? You're also going to be able to say, you know what? It's okay not to be okay. Guess what, baby? I'm not staying that way, all right? So here at Your Mind Matters, we don't want you to stay that way. So I'm going to use everything I have in my tool chest. I'm going to talk about that tool chest. Look, everything I have, but seeing all these thousands and thousands and thousands of patients, I'm going to give to you, okay?
Yes.
And I need you to give your lived experience to us, your knowledge, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. Contact us, you know, and let us know, hey, I've got something to contribute to this conversation. So, you know, we're going to give you the information on how you can reach out to us so that you can share and bring your brick to this discussion, all right? In the words of Karen Hunter and Dr. Carr, bring your brick to this discussion. You know what I mean? Bring your brick to this discussion so we can build this thing. And again, so that you can be the best version of yourself. So look, that's all we got for you on this first episode of Your Mind Matters with Dr. Jewel. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Your Mind Matters. And just realize that, man, your mind matters. Let's nurture it, man. Let's get it optimal. And it's a lifelong pursuit, but we in it to win it. All right? Peace, y'all.